Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7. First Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. I appreciate Eddie filling in for me this last Sunday. I was in Idaho at the little church in Grangeville, and they're doing well. Still appreciate our prayers and others praying the Lord will send them a pastor. But the associate there, Pastor Keith, and his wife, Alita, are doing a great job filling in. As I was traveling this last week, had a long way to go by myself, or the week, whenever it was, week before last, I was listening to one of the stations that you can only get in certain places around the state, and there was some Christian music playing. And I heard an incredible song, and I'd never heard it before. It's really a song for choirs and chorales, rather than, I don't know that it would be suitable for worship time, but the title struck with me, and the title is One More Day of Grace, or Another Day of Grace, or something like that. And it's really a beautiful song, in my opinion, but I thought about that title, Another Day of Grace. And I thought, you know, that's really what it is every morning when we wake up. Or if you work a night shift, every afternoon when you wake up, we wake up to another day of grace. Amen? Amen. Another day of grace. The Bible says in the New Testament that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. So we know that grace is connected with help. That's what grace does. Grace helps us. And so as I was thinking about that, an old King James scripture came to my mind. An old King James scripture. I use the New King James Version now, but I have several old King James versions that are filled with my notes of these many, many years of ministry. And I, as that verse came to me, and that verse, that part of a verse, as I was driving, thinking about another day of grace, that verse that says, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. It has that word hitherto. That's an old English way of saying it. In our translations today, it means like up to now. God has helped us. But that kept going through in my mind. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And I couldn't put it together because I'm driving, and Cheryl doesn't like me to be looking up scriptures as I drive. But I thought, as soon as I park, I'm gonna try to find that. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So over and over that was going on. So when I pulled over at a rest area and I looked it up, it is 1 Samuel 7:12. 1 Samuel 7:12. And that verse reads this way in the New King James. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin, and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Or I like that, hitherto. That just sounds good, doesn't it? It rolls off the tongue. Everyone say that with me. Yeah, you speak Old English really well. Hitherto, the Lord has helped us. Up to now, the Lord has helped us. And so I begin to put those two things together. Another day of grace. And for me at least, what that meant was that every morning that I wake up is going to be another day of grace. And that grace is going to bring the help that I need for that day. And God has done that every day of my life. Every day. And I'm sure you could say the same. There has not been a day that has gone by in all my almost 68 years that God has not shown His grace upon me. And it's not because I deserved it. How many know your pastor does not deserve God's grace? This is not a vote, okay? How many know I don't deserve God's grace? Come on, how many know that? Get your hands up. All right? It's not a division of the house. Okay, we're for him, we're against him. No, it's not that. That is the truth. I don't deserve God's grace. How many would agree you don't deserve God's grace? Look at those hands. We don't deserve God's grace. And yet every day it comes to us afresh and anew. Every day God's supply of grace is there for us. And why is it there? It's my estimation that it's there because it brings God's grace. It's like the help of the Lord is on the steed of grace. And as grace rides into our lives every day, help is on that little horse, just riding and saying, Yahoo, let's see what we can do to help God's people. And so Samuel, in this story, set up a stone of remembrance, and he called it Ebenezer. The word Ebenezer in the Hebrew means the rock of help, or the rock that reminds me of God's help. See, in Old Testament times, they didn't have monumental building capabilities as we do. And besides, if you got it too elaborate, God confounded your language and you got spread throughout the world, i.e. Tower of Babel, right? But they would build altars out of stones, out of rocks. They would build altars. As a matter of fact, at the end of chapter 12, it says that Samuel did just that. After the great victory they experienced by the miracle hand of God, he built an altar so that he could give thanks to God for what he had done. So he said, I'm going to set up a stone. Now, the background of the story is that the Philistines were harassing Israel. And Israel, frankly, had not lived the way they ought to live. They had sinned against the Lord. Matter of fact, when you read chapter 12, and maybe you read it later, you're reading it now, but you'll find that the people had sinned greatly against the Lord. And Samuel had come to them and said, look, you need to repent of how you're living. You need to be sorry for the sins that you've done. And you need to repent of them before the Lord. And then expect that the Lord will come and he will help you. And yet even in their sinful condition, God would help them because they existed. At this point, Israel probably should have been annihilated. But they didn't, because God has his eye on Israel. Amen? All through the Bible, God has helped them. And they didn't deserve it. And so they repented, they asked God to forgive them, they took a little lamb, which is a symbol of Jesus, the Lamb of God that dies on the cross for us, and he sacrificed that little lamb, and the people repented, they fasted the entire day, and they said, we're sorry, Lord, for what we've done. And so when the Philistines, the enemy, the sworn enemy of Israel, heard that they had repented and they were getting close to God, the Philistines surrounded them and wanted to eliminate this thing. Probably thinking if they're fasting, they're weak, and we can really take advantage of this and destroy them. And yet the Bible says in chapter 12 that God came against the Philistines after they had repented with a thunderous thunder that confused the Philistines, and they were defeated that day, and there was peace in Israel. God did a miraculous, supernatural way of defeating the enemy. And Samuel says, I never want you to forget that the Lord helped you today. And so we're going to set up a stone. And we're going to call it Ebenezer. And it's going to be the stone of my help. A reminder that God has helped us. In Psalms 121, David asks a question. We'll read that psalm in a little bit. David asks this question, very reflective psalm from David. He's out looking at the hills. He's looking at the mountains. And he says, where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? Now don't let that question just pass over in its simplicity. Think about it for a moment. Let that question just kind of meditate on it for a moment. Where does my help come from? Each of us individually, where does your help come from? Now, the immediate answer would be the Lord, which is right. Matter of fact, David answers the question as soon as he makes it. He says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the what? The Lord, who made heaven and earth. Psalms 121, he says, I will look unto the hills. And then he says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Those hills helped remind him. They were an Ebenezer, if you will, for David, that his help comes from the Lord. And yet, think about it for a moment. Where does your help come from? Where does my help come from? Does your help come from, and I don't know, your checkbook? Or is it debit card these days? Credit card? Is that where my help comes from? Well, let's be honest. If you called PUD and said, the Lord is going to pay my bill this month, so talk to him, they're going to want a little more than that. Amen? So that's for your checkbook or your debit card or whatever, however you pay your bills, comes in. Where does my help come from? Well, it comes from that. Well, it does, but where does your help come from? It's not really the checkbook and it's not really the debit card, because it's the Lord who puts the money in the checkbook. Amen? Are you with me? And you say, but wait a minute. No, Pastor. I work hard for my money. I work hard, and we know you do, and I do. I work hard for what you pay me as well. So my help comes from me. My help comes from my efforts. Well, that is true to a point, but who gives you the strength to get out of bed every morning? That comes from who? The Lord. So my help really does come from the Lord, but he uses my job. You see, it's pretty elementary. I'm preaching to the choir here, okay? But when we ask the question, as David asked, where does my help come from? Sometimes we may want to rely on answers that rely on us. And what we really, at the end of the day, cannot do, we cannot rely on us, because nobody knows what a day is going to carry. Nobody knows that. No one knows what might come. We might not be able to get to that job. We've had a lot of stories, he and our church here, over the past, you know, many, many years that we've pastored here, of people who were fine, and they woke up and they weren't fine. And they lost their job, and they had to depend on help from other people, etc. They didn't plan that, but it happened. You see, sometimes I think when we say, where does my help come from? We need, obviously, to say it comes from the Lord, but sometimes the Lord disguises his help. He disguises his help. I've had people through the years say to me, someone offered me some groceries, Pastor. I'm out of work, and they offered me some groceries, and I refused them because I'm too proud. And my response to them usually is, well, you know, maybe you just said no to God's help. How many know that sometimes God disguises his help in other people? Huh? Other people. I've told you this story before. I'm going to tell it again because I'm old and I'm permitted to do that. I have an AARP card and I know how to use it. I can retell stories. The family whose tires were bald in the parking lot, and that family came to me and said, Pastor, here's the money. Would you please let them know? I don't want them to know who did it, but I want to buy them a set of tires. God helped that family. They couldn't afford tires, but God helped them, but he disguised his help by the gift of an anonymous donor, right? God does that. You may not think that you can be an extension of God's help, but you really can. You come into church on Sunday morning and someone is discouraged and you sense that, and the Lord prompts you to go to them and let them know you've been praying for them, and you embrace them and let them know that you've been thinking about them. That is God's help. That is God's help disguised in a person. I wept the other day. I wept the other day. I've been going through some, Cheryl and I both, just some things, not horrible, but there's some really things that we've been wrestling with. And I got a text from someone who I would never have expected a text from. Never. No one in the church. Someone completely outside. I haven't seen them. I think the last time I saw them, it was at Cracker Barrel. Boy, that sounds good right now, doesn't it? About a year ago. And the text actually came through Eddie. They didn't know how to get a hold of me. They said, Eddie, can you forward this to your father? And I won't tell you what all that it said. It was very private and personal, but it was spot on. And he said, Pastor Stanton, I just was asleep and the Lord woke me up and spoke to me and said, give him this message. And as I read it, I wept because it was exactly spot on what I'd been wrestling and praying about on many of my trips that I have to take. And I thought, Lord, you helped me in the disguise of a young man who I haven't seen in a year. Amen? Where does my help come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. The Lord used him to do that. The Lord can use a lot of different ways to help us. We just need to recognize that it is the Lord. Now, I know sometimes people have good intentions, and sometimes the help isn't really what, i.e., Job, four friends. Job, we know what the problem is. You have sinned against God, because nobody has those things happen to you unless he's a sinner. Or, Job, God just doesn't like you. With friends like that, finish it. Who needs enemies? They tried. I'll give them that. They tried. They were trying to help Job wrestle with some questions that he had. They were trying. So I'll give them that. They tried. The problem is they were trying to be the help, which really I think they needed to back up a little bit and consider the fact that it could be that Job didn't do anything to deserve what he got. But we know now, looking back in the New Testament, that God chose Job because he knew he could trust him, and he did it as an example for us. Think of this. Job probably, I don't know, I didn't look this up, but maybe what, 4,000 years ago maybe? Has it been that long? Something like that. And yet we're still talking about him today and his example of staying true to God even in the hardest of times. Amen? Every now and then, I'll pray for the Lord's help. And you know what he'll do? He'll send me to the book of Job. And as I preached 2 weeks ago, I reread, I know my Redeemer lives. Amen. So where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. It always will, it always has, and it will always continue to be so. Even if I don't recognize it, my help comes from the Lord. I was preaching one day several years ago, and a little child came up, and they handed me this piece of paper. And they didn't go to kids' church that day. They handed me this piece of paper and said, this is for you, and kind of and walked away. And so I opened that piece of paper, and they had drawn a picture. That little child had no idea what Pastor had gone through that week. And in that picture was me. Now, they're not exactly a Leonardo da Vinci, okay? But I did have hair in that picture, so thank God for that, right? But in that picture, I am standing at this pulpit. I'm standing there, and behind me, they drew an incredible, glowing picture of what I perceive to be Jesus. standing behind me. Now, I don't know if their parents encouraged him to do that. I doubt it. I think the Lord just spoke to them. And I asked the question, where does my help come from? It comes from a little 4 or 5 year old child that draws a picture. Amen? Where does my help come from? I need to recognize that my help comes from the Lord, but sometimes it might be disguised as a little child. So this Ebenezer stone, literally the stone of my help, David might have had 4 of those stones. Remember when he slew Goliath, he chose how many stones out of the brook? You remember? 5. How many did he use? 1. Maybe he kept the other 4 in his pocket like some people do. It's amazing what you find in your kids' pockets. Frogs, worms, rocks. Maybe David kept those 4 rocks as a reminder of his Ebenezer. Hitherto the Lord has helped me. Amen. What do you have that reminds you that the Lord has helped you? What do you have? What is your Ebenezer stone that you have? Maybe it's a memory. Maybe it's a scripture. Maybe it's a song. For me, one of my Ebenezers, and usually when I'm by myself, I'll just blurt it out. Because little do you know, I'm an incredibly good singer. But I choose not to demonstrate that in front of you. Thank you, Mark, for the laughter. I can't hold a tune in a bucket. But when I'm by myself, I'm the best singer around. Amen? Any shower singers here? Come on. Shower singers unite. That's right. And oftentimes, I'll be here at the church. I'll be by myself. I'll be praying. And I'll sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's an Ebenezer for me. It's an Ebenezer for me. And just singing it reminds me that where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Lastly, Samuel took the stone and he set it between Mizpah and Shen. Mizpah was a Hebrew word that meant watchtower. Watchtower. They believe that Mizpah was a place, it's mentioned a couple times in the Bible, where you could get a good look at the situation, a watchtower, a good place where you could see. He planted it between Mizpah and Shen. Shen is a word that they really don't know what Shen means. In the Chinese language, Shen means ancestral spirits, so don't get them mixed up with that. But in the Hebrew, Shen probably means a tooth. It's odd. A tooth. And what they think is that somehow Shen, though they don't know really what it means, probably was a crag or a rock that was sticking out that had the resemblance of a tooth. I mean, that wouldn't be uncommon. Somewhere between the tooth and the watchtower was the Ebenezer that said, the Lord help me. And so I was thinking about those two words, and I thought, how can I? And then I got this incredible picture, and I don't know that it's from the Lord. It might be my sanctified imagination. But what I came up with is, the Lord is always watchful over us, and you fool with me, and he's going to bite you. Would that work? Works for you folks, not for you folks. Come on. Does that work? How many believe the Lord's always looking out for us? Now, whether he can buy this or not, I'll leave that too. Let's turn to Psalms 121 and finish. Verse 1. Give you a moment to find it. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Even when I don't recognize it, my words, not the Bible's, but my help comes from the Lord. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, means protector. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Keep in mind, the Lord is your helper. The Lord is your shade. Don't just take shade as shade. Take it as part of the Lord's helping you. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you or keep you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord's help is always there. Amen. The Lord is my help. The Lord is my help. The one who made heaven and earth. So when the Lord brings your help, he may bring it in a lot of different ways. Always give credit to the Lord for doing it. Thank the person, thank the child, thank the song, thank the Ebenezer stone, but always know your help comes from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together this morning, please. With our heads bowed for a moment, if you're here today, along with Cheryl and I, and you're physically able, would you raise a hand and say, Pastor, I need the Lord's help. In whatever area, financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, just lift your hand. This may not apply to everybody, but if it's you, just lift it up with Cheryl and I. Lord, you see the hands today. You see the hands of the many, many, many hands across this audience who say, Lord, I need your help. And Father, in just this simple message, I'm asking you to bring us the help that we need. To bring that help to these who have lifted their hands, Lord, in whatever way you choose. It might be a song, it might be a picture, it might be a person, it might be something unforeseen. God, but please bring them the help they need in Jesus' name. Father, I believe what I preached this morning. I believe your word today, and I believe that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so by that uplifted hand, we are saying, yes, thank you, Jesus, that you are bringing that help that I need. And I simply ask it in faith, believing that God is going to do it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank him for his word today, shall we? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks you for coming. Take a little while to visit, if you will. Next service starts 10:45. Thank you for coming to church today. God's best be with everyone today.